This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 in the evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. So our whole hour is going to be dedicated to this idea, right? We want our kids to grow up in the best possible environment. And that often means creating safe spaces for them to learn, have fun, fail, and also to have things that they can celebrate.
So households, schools, and learning centres are all part of that discussion, but there are also other initiatives out there to help create these avenues. One of such is NGO Puak, or Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita. Their goal is to create safe spaces for children, and part of their program includes the Puak Payung 2019 Kidspreneur Bazaar. It's an entrepreneurial platform for children to showcase their amazing handmade products.
So, to talk more about that and also to explain how we can create safe spaces for kids, Tiara Sharani from Puak, as well as clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, first things first, guys, if you have any thoughts, questions or comments, particularly about fostering creativity in kids, encouraging growth and learning, as well as just the whole idea of a safe space, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Tiara, let's start with you. Can you just kind of walk us through the work that Puak does?
Okay, so Puak, as Calvin mentioned, is Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita. But we usually call ourselves Puak Payung. So Payung is umbrella. So us adults and the stakeholders are the Payung. Underneath the Payung, of course, the children. Yeah. So so what we do is we advocate for safe space. We create, for example, for these kids from the bazaar. So we create a platform for the children to be themselves, but at the same time, they feel safe because they feel comfortable. They're able to be themselves. They feel protected. Yeah. So on top of that, of course, Syed Azmi is one of the co-founders as well. So he does child protection. So that falls under our organization. Yeah.
And I guess this also just is about a question of defining what a safe space is, right? How would you define what a safe space is for children, and what are its objectives?
Okay, so safe space. Okay, so when you ask people what is a safe space, the first thing that comes in mind is a physical place. But safe space, there are like, you know, there's three elements. There's physical, there's behavior, then of course, that's emotional. So that's why with this bazaar, I mean, the kids will learn how to be respectful, how to be accountable, how to be reliable. So those are, you know, basic steps of, you know, learning how to create their safe space. So that's how we see it, what safe space is. So it's more than just a physical place. Yeah. So yeah, it's more that, you know, it's attitude, respect, you know, adapt. All this, these are the basic thing. I mean, kids nowadays, I mean, we need to actually teach them as well. So yeah, so hopefully this platform, yeah, give them that opportunity to actually learn.
Prakash, from a psychological point of view, I guess, I mean, in terms of creating a safe space, what kind of work goes into that? And does it differ from person to person? Because I imagine one person's safe space might not necessarily match that of another.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, I think individuals' needs differ. So, of course, we need to take into consideration that. But I guess when we talk about children in general, there are basic things that we want to make sure that we protect them from, right? So we want to make sure that the space is safe from physical harm, emotional abuse, that they are able to thrive, like you mentioned just now.
Yep.
They're able to learn, thrive, gain values. Mm-hmm. I think these are general and it encompasses all children. The individual needs will be differing. Maybe that will be based on their personalities. That's when those things come in.
Right. And I guess for a lot of people, the first safe space is hopefully the home. I mean, yes. Sometimes that isn't the case, but more often than not, it should be. how do you start to extend that safety outside of home? Because I think that's really what we're talking about mm-hmm. here, right? Like with a platform like a bazaar where mm-hmm. you're taking children out of, you know, just working with parents, for example. Mm-hmm. Once you start to extend it, how does that work?
well, like you said, I think the home is kind of the base. If that safe space is not established, even going out will not be possible, right? Because there will be fear and they will not feel safe to do it in other environments. So the home is kind of the base. And going out, I think individuals who are involved in these different platforms, like you say, school, for the younger ones, maybe kindergarten, initiatives like this, these individuals need to have their mindset right, and they need to know how to prepare these environments or these spaces to make sure that they cater for the children's needs.
And how would you change this as the children grow up, right, into their tweens and into their teenage years?
You want to take that?
Teenager.
Yeah, teenager.
well, I think as they grow up, the emotional needs come out a bit more, you know, especially for teenagers. So creating a safe space then would be a space where they are able to share their, talk about their feelings. They feel safe to share what has happened in school, maybe crushed and didn't talk to them, yeah. things like that, right? These are what teenagers go through. And a lot of times they might not have a right avenue to talk about these things or share their feelings. So I think as they move on into that stage, those elements come into play.
Yeah. And I suppose I remember as a child, I guess, feeling as if a lot of places were not accessible to me, you know, mm-hmm. that only certain places were made for me. So, for example, in kindergarten, that's mm-hmm. where you're supposed to be, in places that look like Sesame Street or, you know, where Barney hangs out. That's meant for you. But there are also so many places like the office, for example, that mm-hmm. are adult spaces. Mm-hmm. So how, and I think with a situation like this where you have a bazaar, mm-hmm. Where you have children actually there interacting with adults, mm-hmm. Selling their own things, that might be thought of as, oh, you know, it's a fresh space. I didn't know that I could do this. Why is it necessary to carve out these spaces that are dedicated for children that maybe traditionally haven't been thought of as this is a kid's space?
Well, I believe that children need a place or an outlet to expand, you know, their thinking or their feelings. So for me, it's creating this bazaar is just the what you call it, it's just the mechanism, the tool, right? But the content itself, I mean, the kids, they get more than just selling. You know, they get to learn to communicate with adults better besides than their parents. And then they get to even learn how to do creative thinking. You know, they know how to market their products. And then they get to learn more than that. So we hope that, you know, this kind of thing they might not get to learn probably at home or even school. So we create this platform, something that is new to them, and hopefully they enjoy exploring it. But of course, at the same time, yeah, we try to keep the bazaar, you know, a safe place. So that's why the parents are there to supervise. Even the volunteers, we filter the volunteers. We make sure those are the ones that we've worked before with children. We know how they work because we've got we have autistic kids there. So we make sure there are a place for them to, in case things get a bit too much for them, they have a quiet place to go to. So these are the things that we take into consideration to make the place safer for them.
We're speaking today with Tiara Sharani, who is from NGO Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita, as well as Prakash Ravindran, clinical psychologist. And we're talking about the Puak Payong 2019 Kidspreneur Bazaar. But more broadly, we're talking about the importance of creativity and creating these spaces and platforms for children at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
In the studio with us today, Tiara Sharani from NGO Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita, or PUAK, as well as clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran, and we're talking about safe spaces for kids and how that can include, we've talked about home, we've talked about school, we've also talked about activities such as the bazaar. Now, in talking about this, we haven't really kind of focused on the parents. So do you think that the importance of safe space is something that Malaysian parents can get behind, especially once we take it out into the realm of extracurricular activities, not just home and school? Or does academic excellence still take precedence? Prakash, maybe you can take this one.
Yeah. Well, definitely parents play a big role in this area in instilling that the home is a safe space. And I think generally what happens a lot of times is the physical needs are met, right? So there's a roof over your head, you have food on the table, clothes to wear. But sometimes the other aspects of a child's development may be forgotten, right? Like the emotional needs, the social needs. So definitely the parents, I guess, will need to be more aware of these different areas and how they can play a role in further developing these areas with the, of children.
And with the children that you've worked with, is there a prioritization on parents on sort of the emotional life of kids, or is there still a lot of focus on what their children should or should not should be achieving, I think, specifically when it comes to goals and academics and things like that?
I think there is still quite a lot of emphasis put on academics and achieving goals. But I do think that many parents are starting to be more aware of the other side of the coin as well. And we try to get them to understand that the emotional and social needs need to be met in order to gain academic success as well, right? So those areas need to be fulfilled. If not, the child will not be able to function fully.
Tiara, is that what you observe in your work as well?
Yeah, because our organization, we focus on the poor community. The communities is we call ASNAF community. So they if this is what we've concluded. When it comes to protection, or you know, there's abuse going on, one of the main culprit is actually is poverty. Yeah. So, but the thing is, when we did our visits to the poor committees' houses, the parents, the families, there are those that we've seen that has a loving family, even though they've got nothing, you know, they're poor, but they have this loving family environment. You can see the kids, you know, in the kindergarten, you know, when they won like medals, and you know, when they got that, the graduation pictures and all that, the first thing that you see when you go inside the house, that is the first thing that you see. So you know that the parents love their children. I mean, like, you know, like Parker says, like, you know, there are more things than just physical place. You know, there's the emotional, there's the social part. So if it's a poor family, if they have enough love, they can create that safe space for their children. So,
So I guess, Tiara, working with the community that you do, what are the other types of activities and programs that you run?
Okay, so currently we have that bazaar. We do have our ad hoc projects where we visit the ASNAF communities. We also collaborate with other NGOs, other initiatives. Like recently, we sponsored kids from Casa Harapan. So those Casa Harapan in Kuantan, the kids are some are born with HIV. Some of them, the parents have HIV, so but the parents are missing. So the kids are being sent there. So we did program with them. So most of them are teenagers. So what we did was we did a program on eco-education, Kembara Alam, eco-education in Kuantan. So that is a different angle, how we approach the teenagers. So it is a different angle. So that program, they can actually express themselves more. They get to say what they want. They get to share their ideas. So we create that platform for that teenagers. So that's one of them. So because we are still new, so yeah. So we have that, we have the bazaar, we have our ad hoc projects, and of course we have our mingle and pitch. Mingle and pitch, that has been going on for like 6 years already. That's it. So, but we do collaborate with other NGOs. Yeah.
And Prakash, how do you build an environment and ecosystem where children feel comfortable enough to be curious and openly express themselves?
I think a few things need to be in place. I think, first of all, it needs to be a non-judgmental space, right? So whatever the children want to express, there shouldn't be judgment. Also, there should be no demands, so-called, put on the child, so they are able to come up with their own ideas, right? A lot of times, children maybe are told a certain way of doing things or to play a certain way, and that maybe can hinder their ability to be creative or to come up with ideas on themselves.
So the other thing, I guess, there is after you create a non-judgmental space, after you get all that ready, and you have maybe kids who are maybe shyer or who don't necessarily want to participate, how do you get that going without creating a space that accidentally puts demands on them?
Yeah. Then I think maybe finding their interests, right? So getting them exposed to different things, seeing what really connects to them, what excites them, and then maybe trying to usher them or promote
them. Hold their hand.
Along that path, per se.
Yeah. So like what Lynn said, like the quiet ones, the shy ones. I mean, yeah, you can't force them. You can't. I mean, you are excited for other kids who wants to join in, but the quiet ones, you have to be a bit gentle. Yeah. I mean, when they are ready to join in, yeah, give them that space to, you know. If they need time, we give them that,
And I guess your programs focus quite a lot on entrepreneurship. And why did you choose to go down that route?
So I come from a background of business, So I always feel that business is a good way to build characters. So... And I know the first thing that I thought was like, oh, you know what? Let's create a bazaar. You know, but this time, you know, it's just the kids. You know, let the kids become the vendors. Let kids create their own product. You know, they can even do it like a pasar malam. Go ahead. I mean, like, we're not gonna hold them back or anything. So like, they want to buggy discount or whatever. We leave it to them. So I feel that they get to do more through business. I mean, they get to learn how to count. They get to learn. I mean, we had a workshop a week before the bazaar. They get to learn how to, I mean, count the cost that they're using to do their product. And at the same time, we get them to think like, okay, how much you need to mark up, you know, like, you know, so that, you know, you make a bit of a profit, at least your cost is covered and all that. So, and on top of that, you can see how it built their confidence, you know. And the thing is, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but when you get to see children talk to adults, they get, you know, this proud, you know. I mean, they get like, oh yeah, I'm talking to adults now, yeah, I get to sell them things. So yeah, so we want to give them that.
Prakash, what's that boost about? The fact that, you know, because I think it's one thing for, and it's important for kids to have that interaction between peers, right? But then there is definitely that boost that you sometimes see when you have a child like confidently communicating with an adult. What's that about?
Well, I think, first of all, that is an acknowledgement of the recognition of their ability, right?
Exactly.
So that, you know, that, hey, you are taking what I say valuable. You think what I'm saying is valuable, or whatever I'm selling that is worth your time and you have interest in it. So that definitely is a confidence booster for them.
So we're talking today about creating safe spaces for kids, but with a particular focus on things like creativity and also how to introduce children to things like business and entrepreneurship at a bit of a younger age. If you want to ask any questions, if you have any thoughts at all about this idea of safe space, creativity, or how to introduce children to activities like this, then call us. That number is 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the studio with us, Tiara Sharani, who is from Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita, as well as Prakash Ravindran, who is a clinical psychologist. And they're both here today to talk about the importance of creating safe spaces for kids, the importance of fostering, I guess, creativity and opening up a specific sort of more business-ish, adult-oriented activities for kids. For example, the bazaar that you're here to actually speak about. Now, before we get to hearing the details of the bazaar, I guess, Tiara, for you, how did you create programs, or when you think about programs, how do you ensure that they'll be applicable across different sorts of age groups? You know, how do you make sure that something that would interest, say, a 13-year-old would also interest a 7-year-old?
So the bazaar is one of the example, because the bazaar, kids any ages 18 and below can get involved. I mean, if they don't become a vendor, they become volunteers. When we have teenage volunteers helping us out even tomorrow. If, you know, there's siblings, you know, there are one that is 8 years old and then the sister is 14 years old. We personally feel that the bazaar able to cater all kids in different ages, the young ones. I mean, we have as young as 7 years old selling food tomorrow, so that'll be chaotic a bit, I guess. But that's the fun about it. But like you mentioned, I mean, to come up with a program or event so that it caters everyone. We have our goals, we have our objectives. I mean, what is it that we're trying to achieve? We have our three pillars that we have to make sure that it covers it: self-esteem, knowledge, skills. These three has to be included. So this aspect, that's our objectives, our goals, our pillars. I think those are the ones that guide us in creating an event or program. And also, we know which target group that we want to focus on. I mean, for instance, like, you know, that the program that we did with the Kembara Alam, we know that that one is for teenagers, so we know what we need to focus on. But the bazaar is much more, there's more freedom to that. So I think that event is considered one of the events that all kids, all age.
And Prakash, from your point of view, I suppose, how does it work to create something that would be interesting to kids who are of very different developmental stages?
I think that's always a big challenge. Whenever we do activities or we plan things, trying to scale it that way. And for this bazaar event, which is applicable to such a wide age range, I think how that works is maybe the level of support given to the younger ones might be different as compared to some of the older ones who will be left more independent to do different things. That's always the challenge, especially because all the different age groups, all of them have different interests, different stages of their development, like you mentioned. I think keeping that in mind and also talking about their individual needs, knowing what their individual needs might be, that will probably help us to kind of tailor accordingly.
So when we talk about safe spaces, it also, I guess, involves conversation about letting kids, being able to give kids the opportunity to take risks and, of course, fail safely with a rather soft landing. Mm-hmm. So let's say with the bazaar, mm-hmm. using that as an example, there just might be people who might not want to purchase the things mm-hmm. they are selling. So how do you account for rejection in all of this?
This is a bit of cheating. So we make sure that some of us will make sure that we by every stall. So we have that as a backup. So just in case that either like one kid stall, you know, weren't able to sell any of the products. But we make sure that some of, yeah, so we have that contingency plan. But yeah, so that's what the parents are there for. Yeah. So we told the parents, okay, you are there to supervise, you know, just to see, you know, like, you know, if they, like, they don't get too overexcited, you know, if let's say, for instance, they fail not getting to sell all their products, you are there to comfort them. We are there to provide the support. Parents are there to provide that emotional emotional support. But the thing is, we did tell the parents, okay, you selling part, let the kids do it, yeah? You just at the back, just make sure things are okay, things are alright. They don't go all crazy, you know. They can go all crazy, but it's fine. But when they, you know, feel sad and think, that's what you're there for. Yeah.
And Prakash, how would you manage those conversations with kids that, you know, may not do so well?
I think that for parents especially, that's something that could be done pre-event, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
So talking to them, like, these are the possibilities that might happen, mm-hmm, getting them to have their expectations set, not like they're going to sell out everything.
Yeah.
And like you said just now, that it helps to build resiliency, mm-hmm, right? So actually, so-called failing, a soft landing,
yeah,
it helps them to problem solve also, right? So maybe parents can, hey, okay, what do you think went wrong? Maybe what can we do differently next time?
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Because at the beginning, before the bazaar opens tomorrow, we have a quick briefing with the children and the parents. You know, our intention, you know, the bazaar is for them to have fun. Yeah, if they do make profit, bonus. Yeah, but the whole point is, yeah, we want them to have fun, you know, get to chat with adults and all that, you know, build confidence, build their self-esteem, yeah.
And what do programs and platforms like this offer that may be lacking right now in our traditional education system, you think?
Oh, gosh. I feel that programs such as this bazaar offers the kids to think outside the box a bit. I mean, they get to be creative. They have the freedom to do what they feel that they want. I mean, that's the reason why the requirement is you can become a vendor if you sell products or food made by you. So they know that, oh, they have to start thinking, like, oh, what should I sell? They even sell, there are vendors like selling even slimes, you know, the normal slimes. But it's like, fine, it's okay. Because they do sell that in school. So, yeah. So, I mean, I would like to believe that we are offering the kids an opportunity where they won't get to do that in school. Yeah. So that's how, yeah, we hope that we get to offer them that.
So this is very much still about the physical space, but I think we have to also include this, include the digital space into this conversation about safe spaces. Do you guys do any work in helping to create a safe environment for children to be able to interact online? And I guess that also includes like interactions with potentially adults also on the online space.
Wow. Okay. I'm just going to admit this. Currently, cyber safety with regards to children, something we have yet to cover, because I think it's a different angle, it's a different ball game altogether, and I think we need that expert to talk about it. I mean we do tell our children, you know, look, if you want to go online, make sure that, you know, if any stranger message, you know, if they start getting a bit funny don't tell it to your parents, show it to your parents, you know, all those, yes, we covered that base. But with regards to protecting that information, or, you know, I mean, yeah, I have to admit, we're not there yet. Yeah.
And I suppose, have you, Prakash, ever had to talk kids through this? Or is this something that, what advice would you have for parents who are looking at their children, who are entering these sort of social media spaces, who are online, who are digital natives? What advice would you have to offer in terms of managing that?
I think the baseline is, first of all, as children start getting involved in this cyberspace or online platforms, parents need to be aware of what's going on. They need to be in control. So, you know, we talk about things like maybe the computer or the laptop being in an open area, right? Not enclosed in the room, so parents can be monitoring it from time to time. So I think that open communication is very important so that children feel free to express and talk to their parents what they're doing online. They're not trying to hide those things. And also parents are taking interest as to what they're doing as well. So it's kind of a both side of the coin kind of thing, both parties working together. It is definitely a challenging one because nowadays there's so many different platforms. There's so many different people you can be talking to. You don't really know who's on the other side, who you're talking to. As a child, you might be talking to a grown man. So really, I think the parents being involved and making sure they know, okay, who are you making friends with online? Who are these people?
I think that's the reason why, sorry, I'm just going to add that bit. I think that's the reason why also we decided to have this bazaar. It's another activity, you know, outside where, you know, they don't have to use their phone. You know, it's something that they can occupy themselves, especially, you know, like when teenagers, you know, they need to be filling their time with other things. So, yeah.
And Prakash, right, that adult supervision, can adult supervision for online activities be seen by children as a form of policing? How do you walk that line?
Yeah, that's a very difficult one, right? I think it goes back to the relationship that the parents form with the child. And I think this is probably since a younger age as well. It's not something you build when you're only when the child is 15. So it has to start at a younger age. And as you come on up, the attachment that the child has formed, the child trusts you, the child knows that that you are a safe space for them to share these things. You know, we talked about no judgment earlier. So, you know, if kids can openly tell parents, like, hey, this is what I'm doing online, and they feel safe doing that, that gives parents kind of an avenue to not be seen as a police of sort. But it is quite a fine line there. And I guess there are some instances where parents will need to be a so-called police for the safety of their child.
And just in conclusion, I suppose two separate questions for both of you. First things first, back to you, Prakash. I think we've been talking about a lot of different ways, a lot of different pressures to adopt a more holistic approach to raising children. There's, like you said, right, there's an increasing understanding that you do need to view a child as a holistic being. How would you advise parents who are struggling to navigate all these various approaches, right? Who want that academic performance and excellence, want them to be meeting all their goals, but at the same time also know that that emotional support is needed?
I think it goes back to the foundation or the building blocks, which we talked about. I mentioned just now about relationship, right? So the attachment, having a safe attachment style in the family at home, that kind of sets the scene for, okay, they feel emotionally secure. And then parents then can maybe promote them to focus on academics if they need to. It's very difficult if parents are like on the other side, right? Yeah. They see parents as an enemy and someone that they're trying to fight, they're trying to rebel against. So I guess the first step is kind of being on the same team and that helps promote all the different angles to work on.
And Tiara, do you want to just tell us what people can expect tomorrow?
Wow. I'm praying that, you know, when visitors come to a bazaar, they'll get this they get to hear like all these kids, you know, selling their products and all that. And I think it's more of, it's a happy environment. It's a fun environment, which actually is created by the kids themselves, actually. I just want the adults to even enjoy themselves. I mean, the kids will, definitely enjoy themselves. But yeah, I do hope the visitors will come and support our kids and just give them a chance to talk to you, get to know them, see what they have to offer. And I just hope everyone just come down and like just have fun. Yeah.
Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You have heard Tiara Sharani from Persatuan Untuk Anak Kita and clinical psychologist Prakash Ravindran. As we mentioned, Puak is going to be organizing a Kidspreneur Bazaar that's happening tomorrow at the school by Jayawan from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.